may not be well in the physical realm, may be problems health-wise, or may be difficulties that come to us day by day, but as far as my soul is concerned, it is well. And that only comes because we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Do remember these next few days. It's down to almost days now instead of weeks. On May 21st will be our last day of school. That's on a Wednesday, and we'll complete this school year. Then on the 23rd, Friday night, will be our graduation of our kindergartners, eighth graders, and our seniors. And so we look forward to that. And then on the 25th, on Sunday night, we have missionary Brother Darrell Reed, missionary to Romania. He's on his way going to Romania, and he'll be here that Sunday night presenting his field. And so a lot of things coming up in the month of May. June is busy anymore. Just about every month there's something that keeps us busy. And busy in the Lord's work is good busy. And so may the Lord help us and direct our paths. If you would this morning, take your Bibles, turn to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 3. I think last Sunday we were in chapter 4, but this morning, 2 Timothy chapter number 3. I'm reading a few verses here and looking at some things I believe are important to us, that we are to continue in the things that we have learned and to continue in the work of the Lord and to be faithful to what God has given to each of us. We have, over the past few years, we have seen a lot of things take place, and we should certainly know how to continue in the work of God. So 2 Timothy, chapter number 3, let's look at verse number 10. Paul writes to this young preacher Timothy. He says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions." Well, that's a lot of things. He said, you know about all those things in my life. He says, thou hast fully known those. And then he says, "Which came to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things that thou hast learned, and I lost my place. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures and are fully, and which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." In these verses this morning, we find that the Apostle Paul is writing to, again, this young preacher named Timothy, that had learned the scriptures at the feet of his mother and his grandmother, and had been instructed fully in the things of God by the Apostle Paul. Paul now has coming to the end of his life, and he encourages Timothy to continue the things that he's learned, things that he's heard. Last week we looked in chapter 4 where Paul encouraged Timothy to preach the Word, how that he was to continue in the work of God this particular way, in preaching. And over these past years, you and I have grown in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have continued to see a growing problems and growing troubles that comes upon this world that are associated, which I believe are associated with these last days, the perilous times that are spoken to us in the Word of God. Once again, we all know that the time is according to the prophecy of God. We know not the day nor the hour, but we certainly can know the times in which we live, that the Lord is coming. He is approaching. Coming is at hand, and He is, I believe, very soon, even at the door, that one day we shall see Him, and we'll go up to be with Him. And we've seen things take place, we've seen things happen, that we understand is the ushering in of this period of time after the Lord comes. It's called the tribulation, that the world literally will go insane, and the devil will have his day for just a little while. But we need to understand that He hasn't come yet. we need to understand there's no place to lay down our armor equipment and no place to put down our lay down our battle plans, because there is a battle to be fought. There are things that need to be done. Many things we have seen, and those of us that are maybe a little older certainly understand the changes that have taken place over the last few years. And we understand that maybe our children will never enjoy the America that we have had in our days gone by, because of the changes that are so rapidly coming upon us. But I don't find any better advice anywhere in the Scripture than what Paul tells Timothy here. And he says in verse 14, "But continue thou." And we may contrast the times. We may look at what it used to be and what it is today. We may think about history of days gone by and where we are now. And we can compare and we can contrast. But the greatest thing that we have for us this morning and for the days that are coming is that we are to learn that we are to continue in the things that we have. And to continue in the work of the Lord is that realization that we need to resolve that we're going to continue in those things. And yet people seemingly everywhere are falling by the wayside, and they're making their own choices and they're doing what they want to do, and they are seemingly losing respect for the things of God and respect even for God, and even claiming to be a Christian. Well, I made a long time ago, I realized that the Lord wanted me to be one of His children. I was a young boy when I got saved, and I haven't always lived the way I should have and the way the Lord would have me, but I'm glad that God put a hope in my heart that I could live for Him and could serve Him, and then later on called me into the ministry. And so we have a lot to continue, and we have a lot to do. The battle is not over. Really, it's just now raging. And so we are certainly, as we compare what has been, and I can remember, and even people say even today, "Well, I wish it was like it used to be." Well, my friend, it's never going to be like it used to be. We're living in a progression of time, and you can study in the Old Testament, the Jew wanted the former temple. They wanted what it was like in the days of David after the Babylonian destruction came. They desired for it to come back like it was, but as we study on our Sunday night study, we're studying in Nehemiah as they're rebuilding the wall and rebuilding the things of the temple. It never did come back up to what they wanted it to, and because the progression has taken place. But I see here in verse number 14 that the Apostle Paul encourages Timothy when he sees the evil men doing. And the Scripture says they wax worse and worse. That just means they're going to get worse. It's not going to get any better. He instructs Timothy now to continue in the things that thou hast heard and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And so this morning I want us to think about what it is now. Not the former days, not the days of the glory days. I grew up in the late 60s and 70s as a Christian, as a child of God, and I graduated high school in 1969, and that same year the Lord called me to preach, and the next year went off to Bible college, and I saw all the things that have taken place. And boy, the 60s and the 70s, they maybe were the glory days. They were the days that God seemingly was blessing everything that the Independent Baptist was doing. God was blessing that, and God was honoring that, and the fastest growing, the biggest, all the titles that could be given to success was given to people that believe like you and I. And those are what I consider the glory days of our movement. But we must realize those days are in the past. The glory days are gone, and the fire seemingly has left so many places, and we're just sort of living in the smoke of what used to be. But I'm glad we can still continue in what we know and can continue in the things of God. We may be living in the Laodicean church age. We may be living in that time when they're neither hot nor cold, and people may not want to follow the direction that God has for them as they once did, but that does not make an excuse for me. And that does not make an excuse for you. We still can continue in what God has given us and what we know and keep it true to our life and keep it true to the things of God for us, that people around us would know that we really do stand, we really do believe what this blessed old book tells us. And so, what a change it has been in the last 30 years. If we could make our minds go back to the way it was 25, 30 years ago, we would be surprised of how much that we even accept today that would have been very unacceptable of that day. And so the changes have come, and it has brought about a lot of problems, many times with Christians and with churches. When we see the change over these years, sometimes it brings us, and sometimes we become very discouraged. Sometimes folks get very discouraged because of lack of what used to be. We try to live too much in the past. It's not like it used to be. Well, the reason it's not like it used to be is because we're not like we used to be. We are the change. We are sometimes the problem to the problem. And so we become discouraged. Sometimes we become disappointed when we look back over a few decades and see the lukewarmness now that has crept upon churches and the general forsaking of the things of the Lord. Sometimes we get disappointed and discouraged, and sometimes folks even get disillusioned and say, what's the use? What's the reason? Why even serve? Why even do? Why even go to church? Because all these things are taking place. But now, Timothy knew what he believed. And it's important for us to know what we believe, but it's also important to know what we believe is right. Know that it's correct. I know a lot of folks know what they believe, but what they believe is wrong, and not according to the Scripture. And so we know Timothy understood some things from the past, because in these last two verses we read, it uses this past tense word, hast. Thou hast, in verse 14, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. That means you've learned them in the past. And then, and hast been assured of. That's a past tense thing. You've learned it. You've been assured of that in days gone by. And then it says, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. That's past tense. Then verse number 15, he goes on down here, talks about, and that from a child thou hast known. And so these are things that we have in our memories, in our lives. They are past tense to us. But now Paul says, continue thou in those things. Continue to do. And Timothy knew his predecessors. He knew from a child. He knew what his family taught him, his mother and his grandmother. He knew where they stood. And he had been taught the Word of God. And he had had all the advantages that anyone could ever have. And Paul now instructs him to continue in those things. You and I this morning, I dare say that some of us have been privileged to sit under some of the best Bible teachers and Bible scholars that were of our day. When I went to college, I was in amazement of what was going on and what was happening. I was from a little two-bit church in the background of nowhere that anybody knew about, and here I go to a college, and in my freshman class we had 1,170-something. And all of a sudden, I was in a daily daze of what's going on and what's happening. But all of a sudden, I realized what was happening I thought was very, very good. And I got to hear some of the choice preachers of our country, and I thank God for that. Brother Earl, you heard some of the choice. Brother Ebert, you've heard some of the choice preachers. Brother Bradley, some of us have heard some of the men that if we was to call their name, that you'd understand, you'd know them, you'd remember them. And thank God for that. But they're in the past. Where are the leaders of today? Where are those today that's making a stand and making an impression? And thank God there are still some, but they're not what used to be. And so Timothy had those things in the past, and he'd had been able to sit under the Apostle Paul, and there wouldn't have been anybody greater to sit under at the feet of Paul and to read and to understand. And so Timothy had some spiritual assets. You and I have some spiritual assets. We have some things that we can say, thank God I was able to learn this and to know this. I grew up in a church that believe the Word of God. And I praise the Lord for that day of my life. And a church that, a preacher that stood upon the principles of God's Word. And he was far ahead of where I would be even now in my ministry. He was far more studied and learned in those things. And I thank God for being privileged to do that and to hear those things. And Timothy had that same spiritual asset. And by the way, when I went to college, when I went to Bible school, they didn't teach me what I believe. I already believed that. I already had that settled in my heart. When I was 16 years old, I knew what I believed. When I was 18 years old, I knew where I stood. I knew what I believed. And there's been a few things I've sort of tweaked a little bit and some things that the Lord's shown me some things more involved in. But basically, the things that I learned in my church is what I know and what I believe now. And that's what I want to be here. I want us to know. I want us to understand. I want us to have a working knowledge of the Word of God, because these are the things that thou hast learned. And these are the things that are so very important to us. Somebody would ask, what's the most important institution in America today? Well, I would probably disagree with most folks, not church people, but most folks. I think the greatest institution that we have today available to us is the local church. It is the church that will stand, and a church that will preach, a church that will believe, a church that will give to their people and their children things that we can depend upon and stand in this world of wickedness and say, this is what God said. And by the way, when we do that, you be assured and you understand that the world out there is going to mock that, and they're going to make fun of that, and they're going to reject you because that's just old-fashioned. We're smarter than that today. We don't need the church. We don't need the Bible. That's just a bunch of words put together. That's a bunch of books put together, and they contradict each other and all that stuff. That's what the world will tell you. Continue thou in what thou hast learned. The things you've known, the things you've seen, the things you've felt in your heart. And so this morning, to continue in the things of the Lord, to continue in the things of the house of God, the local church needs to maintain some certain things. I believe, first of all, that the local church needs to maintain doctrinal purity. We need to know what we believe. We need to know why we believe what we believe. Somebody says, well, why do you believe that? And I've heard people say, well, that's just what my church believes. Well, that's not a very good answer. Well, why do you believe what you believe about, put any subject there you want to? Well, I believe that because that's what my preacher said. Well, that's not a very good answer either. Why do you believe, and then put something else, and then we ought to be able to say, I believe it because the Word of God teaches it. Why do we believe certain things? Why do we believe that Jesus is coming again? Because the Bible tells us that He's coming. Why do we believe in salvation by grace through faith, not of ourselves, not of works? Because if we had it of works, we certainly would boast of it. If we could do it, we'd tell everybody what we've done. But I'm glad this morning that doctrinal purity will bring us to the point that our salvation is by the wonderful grace of God, the marvelous, unmerited favor that God gives to us, that He calls us by His grace, and we come to believe upon Him. He opens our depraved heart. He opens our life. He opens our minds to the understanding that Jesus loves me, even me. We stand upon those principles. We need to certainly maintain doctrinal purity. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And so we find that there's certain things that are important. I believe it's important what we teach and what we believe. Number one, about salvation. Now, the devil doesn't care what you teach about anything else as long as you're wrong on salvation. If you're wrong on salvation, everything else can be right. But that doesn't bring about salvation. That doesn't bring about eternal life. And so it's important that we maintain purity. That when I'm gone and when these folks are around us that are getting on up in years, when we're gone,
that those that's coming behind us say, this is what we believe. This is why we believe it. And we stand upon that. And not to have someone, some hireling come in here and teach and preach something foreign to the Word of God. When you hear something wrong, you ought to recognize it as being wrong. Ought to recognize it's not right and unscriptural. And so it's important this morning that we as a church understand we must maintain a purity of the doctrine in which we believe. Those things which we have learned. Those things which we have been assured of. I have assurance in my heart about certain things. I don't know about much tomorrow, but I've got some assurance in my heart about some things today. And so we need to have that in our life and need to know these things are very, very important because it's important to those coming up after us. It's important to children that will be raised later. It's important to families that will come in that we maintain and stand upon the purity of the Word of God. I believe it's important that the church needs to maintain a separation from this world. That this world, and when I say world, I'm talking about religious world too. The word for that is ecclesiastical, and some people say, oh, I don't understand that word. I'm just talking about the world, religious world. I used to get phone calls about coming and joining in certain places and doing certain things and having prayer breakfast together. I believe in maintaining a purity. I don't need to go for somebody that doesn't believe my book. I don't need to go sit down and eat with them and fellowship with them. We have nothing in common. Someone that doesn't believe my Lord and doesn't believe the salvation that He is, we have nothing in common. And Grace Baptist Church doesn't belong to anything except the Lord. And so we find that we must maintain a purity of life. Continue thou in the things thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. I believe it's a handing down from generation to generation those things that are pure for the Word of God. So the church needs to maintain a doctrinal purity. The church needs to maintain a separation. Romans chapter 16, verse 17 says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them that cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have heard. That's past tense, just like it is here in Timothy. And then he goes on there in Romans 16, he says, and avoid them. There's some things you ought to avoid. There's some things and some doctrines you just don't have anything to do with because it'll confuse you, it'll bother your heart, and it'll get you questioning. And there's nothing wrong with opening our minds to a certain thing as long as we know and are grounded and firm in the Word of God. So, we need to maintain a separation from those that cause offenses. And in those here, it's not personality offenses. You know, most churches today that have trouble, it's over personalities. Very few times is it over doctrinal issues. Now, there are some, but not many. Churches have split over some of the most minute things that and silly things that you could ever think of because people just did not get their way. Now, that's not what Paul's talking about here in Romans. He says, mark them that cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine. What's doctrine? I've said it so many times. People come along and say, well, my church doesn't teach doctrine. That's the dumbest statement anybody could ever make. My church doesn't teach. When they say doctrine, they just don't teach. The word doctrine just means teachings, beliefs. Now, you can go to any interdenominational, undenominational, and they can say what they want to about they have no doctrine. You check them deep enough and far enough, they have a doctrine. They have a teaching. They just don't want to be identified. They're cowards. And so we find here that the contrary things that Paul is telling the Romans to beware of and to mark them are not personality conflicts. It's not things that we just can't get along with on a daily basis. But Paul tells them to mark those things that are doctrinal in the issues and stay true and even to avoid them.
Because things that are false, things that are not true, that we need to avoid them. And Paul says, mark them.
So I believe the church needs to maintain a separation from the world. I believe the church needs to maintain its testimony. Well, I'm glad, thank God, Grace Baptist Church has a good testimony in our community. Grace Baptist School has a great testimony in our community. Our community college down here enjoys. They want our students because they don't have to go back to the remedial stuff and take it all over again, because we try to equip them. When they go through school, they can go to college and can go on, not have to repeat and redo. And so we need to maintain a testimony. I'm glad people in town know that Grace Baptist Church pays its bills. We always have paid our bills. I can remember a time when we had to borrow money to pay the bill, but we paid the bill. And so we find that it's important. For the Lord says in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men. Our testimony is our light. It is the message that we send. It says here that they may see your good works. I have been accused, and if you've said too much about good works, you have been accused that you don't even believe you ought to have to work for anything. Well, the Bible says we ought to have good works. Not to go to heaven, but because I'm going to heaven, I want to have some good works. Because the Lord has saved me, I want my fellow man, I want my community to know that we stand for principles and we have certain things and we're going to do right and we're going to follow the principles of God's Word, that we might have a testimony, that they may see your good works and in doing that, glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's a testimony. Every one of us in here this morning have a testimony. Well, I don't think I have a testimony. Go ask your neighbor. Or let me go ask your neighbor. Your neighbor won't tell you, but he'd tell me. I don't have a testimony. I don't have much of... Oh, yes, you do. It may not be good, but you have a testimony. And many times people are not bashful to tell somebody else your testimony. May it be a good testimony. May it be a testimony that shines the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to a world that's in darkness and in sin and dying and going to hell without God. And sometimes we're the only light that they have. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, Grace Baptist Church, needs to maintain its testimony of those things which we have learned and those things that we do. We need to maintain. And I believe one of the blessings of our church is that we have maintained our mission outreach. Going to all the world, preach the gospel. That's just simple. Nothing complicated. Someone the other day said, I sure do miss meeting some missionaries. Boy, I had to bite my fingers. I was on the typewriter or the computer. I had to bite my fingers from saying, well, get in a church where you meet some missionaries. Strange thing, in our community, all the missionary Baptist churches don't know very many missionaries. They do not have an acquaintance with missions. And so we find that as a church, we need to maintain our mission outreach. Philippians 4:18, Paul says, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Here's a missionary gift sent from the people of Philippi. Here this man, Epaphroditus, sends it and brings it to the Apostle Paul. And Paul writes back and said, I'm glad I received from you. I read mission letters Wednesday night of folks that we support. They receive from us every month. And thank God we are to continue the missionary outreach of our church to go into all the world, preach the gospel. The flags here represent so many millions of people that need the gospel, and we have folks in these countries and in these lands that are standing and are proclaiming the gospel. I believe a church that does not do that, I do not believe they have the blessings of the Lord. Not as many. The local church needs to maintain its worldwide vision. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Simple words, very seldom are they completely done? The local church needs to maintain its fellowship, its unity. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing." That's unity. And he's writing to the church of Corinth that had had so much disunity. It had so many problems and had so much even immorality within the church. And Paul writes to them and said, "Now I want you to understand you need to speak the same thing. And that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Paul is telling that church of Corinth, get it together. He's telling them to have unity of their heart, unity of the things that they speak, the things that they have in their mind, the judgments, the things that they decide upon. Paul says, have the same mind. And I'm so glad and I'm so thankful that we do not experience the disunity that so many churches do. I'm glad that we can have unity together to go into the world and preach the gospel, that we can do the things that God has placed before us, that we can have a school, that we can have a ministry in this area, in this town, and our community, that we do have a testimony that we love God. That's a blessing from the Lord. We need to continue that. We need to make sure we maintain that. We need to make sure we know those things that we have learned and we continue in those things. The sixth thing the local church and this church needs, Colossians 4:12, first three words is what this church needs as much as anything that I know of and always will, always have. And every church needs, it says, continue in prayer. Prayer. May we never think that our prayer request on Sunday morning and Wednesday nights is all that we have. If that's all the prayer that we have, we are lacking so very desperately. We have those times so that we can share together the burdens that people have and the problems that folks have. But it doesn't stop here in the church. It ought to go home with us in our private prayer time with God. That we get in our prayer closet, as the Bible calls it, that just simply means a place where you go. A place of quietness. A place where you can get with the Lord. A place that you can call upon God. And I'll guarantee you, your prayers in the private will accomplish much more than the prayers that we have in public. We're so interested in making sure we have all of our speech right. We're so interested that we make sure we have everything remembered right. But when we get over in our prayer closet, wherever that might be, and we just get along with God, me and God, and you and God, and we can just talk to God any way we want to. It doesn't matter if it's right. He speaks every language. It doesn't matter if it's correct English or if it's Kentucky English. God understands it. We need to continue in prayer. I cannot emphasize enough, our prayer life is the foundation of the fellowship with God. Asking, beseeching the throne of God. Asking God's favor. Continue in the things that we've learned. From a child, we have sung a little song. We read our Bible and pray every day. And sometimes we didn't do either one. We need to read our Bible. We need to pray every day. The Scripture says that we're to be in an attitude of prayer. The Scripture says, pray without ceasing. Now, that doesn't mean we pray all the time. It means that we can be in the attitude of prayer, that we can pray when we need to, that we can get a hold of the Lord instantaneously and have an attitude of heart of the Lord. And really, I guess all these things that I've said this morning can be summed up in this last one. The local church, Grace Baptist Church, needs to continue just simply in the old paths. Jeremiah 6:16, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way. Walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." That's the instruction that Jeremiah had for the people of Israel. Ask for the old paths. What I've given you this morning are old paths. These are things that some people have left behind. Some people have left behind doctrinal purity.
Some churches have left behind prayer. Some churches have left behind fellowship, unity. Some churches have left all that behind. But Jeremiah says, stand and see and ask for the old paths. Then he says, that's the good way. And then he says, walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. I just pray this morning that we would never be guilty of saying what the people of Israel said after Jeremiah told them that. The last part of that verse, Jeremiah records these words, and they said, we will not walk therein. We will not do that. When we refuse to walk in the things that God has laid out in His Word, then we are headed toward destruction. We're headed toward just not being effective. Oh, we may go through the motions. We may do everything like everybody else does. But if the Holy Spirit doesn't come and energize and the Spirit of God doesn't come and meet with us, where the Lord says two or three met together, He'll be in our midst when that stops, when that ceases. You say, oh, would that ever happen? Read Revelation chapter 2, chapter 3. He says, if you don't repent and return, I'll remove the candlestick. The candlestick is the power of God. It's the light of God. And He says, I will remove it. So may the Lord help us this morning, as Paul told this young preacher. And I would tell every preacher that's ever come out of this church, I would give them the instruction to do what Paul told Timothy here. I'm glad this morning that we have a number of young men that are preaching the gospel. And they are standing where we stand. Praise the Lord. They believe what we believe. They preach what we have taught. They stand where we have stood. And that's the blessing of ministry, knowing that it continues on. And instead of having five or six other seven other families here that could help fill the pews, we've got six or seven out in the world preaching the gospel, filling pews. Praise the Lord. Brother Gene's having a battle trying to get pews to fill. He's having a battle building a building where he can get enough people, get the people in that's coming. And so we praise the Lord. And Brother Tommy pastors and got a church where he's filling the pews. And you can name missionary and preacher after preacher, and God has blessed Grace Baptist Church because we know where we stand and we've taught our young men. And may God help us to understand that's important. We're reproducing ourselves in different places. We're reproducing ourselves on the foreign fields. Not just through the missionaries that we support, but the men that have grown up in this church and are now pastoring in other countries. God has been good to Grace Baptist Church. And may we never take it for granted. May we continue in the things that we've learned. And those things that we've been assured of, may we continue. Let's stand together this morning.